Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, glory. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. A couple of verses there that we're going to share in just a moment. Praise you, Lord. I think that the Lord wants to speak to us this morning. You believe that? Are you open to what He desires? Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the incredible love that you show to us, the concern that you have over our lives, the desire that you have for us. There's a growing confidence in my heart and in my mind that you want more for us than we want for ourselves. You're cutting a clear path for us in your word so that we'll know the way, the truth, the life. Help us this morning as we cut out another section of the brush to find that path that you have placed before us. May you be honored and glorified in our responses. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Lord. Ashley, I need to give you a word from the Lord. He knows right where you are. Give him time. Okay. God loves you. You hear me? God loves you. He will move everything in order to care for you. Give him a chance. Give God a chance. He wants to minister to you right in the circumstance and situation that you're in. Just give him a chance. We get so impatient. We get in a hurry. If you haven't learned this yet, God doesn't. He's right on time. He does what is needed when it's needed. We get in this big old rush, run around in circles, doesn't change a thing. We just let God love us in the way that He loves us. It'd make a huge difference. Praise the Lord. We're studying what we believe. I think it's very important for us to know in this day what we believe. Do you? I mean, not just kind of know. I mean, really know what we believe. And it's not for everybody else. It's for us. Yes, others will benefit by us knowing what we believe. But for us to know personally what we believe is going to be power. Incredible power for us. The enemy, if you haven't come to this understanding yet, the enemy is lurking about, seeking whom he may devour. He's doing all kinds of strange and weird things. Sometimes individuals yield themselves to him, and so then it looks like that it's about people. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Never forget that. Spiritual wickedness in high places. But this is the reason why we need to know what we believe, and we need to stand in what we believe, and let the power of the Holy Spirit work and move in our lives. This isn't a day to be casual about our relationship with the Lord. If you have a relationship with Him, you're going to have to decide whether you're going to follow Him or whether you're going to follow this world. And trust me, you don't want to follow this world because it's headed to destruction. We believe in the inspired Word of God. We believe in one true God in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We believe in the church and its mission. We believe in the fall of man that took place way back at the beginning, but we also believe in the salvation that moments after the fall, God put a plan in place for the redemption, transformation, salvation of all mankind. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know God's idea and God's desire? He doesn't want anybody to die lost. He's making a marvelous provision. We believe in the ordinance of the church, which we studied last week, of water baptism and the Lord's Supper. I understand that some of this kind of becomes a little bit dry and a little bit teachy and all of that. But grab hold and wade through these waters with us and find your place in understanding in what you believe. It will benefit you. Today's study, we're going to talk about sanctification. We believe in sanctification in this church. Not just sanctification of separation unto anything, but separation unto God. This last week on Wednesday, I heard Christine Hallquist. Some of you may have heard that name a few times in the news. The first openly transgender Democratic candidate for governor of Vermont, who gave an interview. And in this interview, Hallquist was asked, "What changes do you see in America that have led to your being elected to serve as the candidate for governor representing the Democratic Party?" Hallquist's response was, "There is a widening of our moral compass." There is a widening of our moral compass. There's probably very little that Christine and I agree about, but I believe this is true. But I also believe it's very dangerous, and I'll show you how. Go in your mind, if you would, please. You are out on an adventure in the Appalachian Mountains. You have purposed to walk some of the Appalachian Trail. But somehow, you got off the trail. And you're in the thick of it. And you make some turns and some twists, and because of the foliage and everything, you cannot see even the sky to tell where the sun is at or moon is at or anything else, and you are out there basically lost. Then all of a sudden you remember in your pocket you brought along a compass. And in an immediate sense, did you get me a compass? Give me a compass. There we go. A compass. Found this compass, but then you remembered at the same time that this compass was kind of temperamental. And depending on who was holding it and what the atmospheric conditions were, there were times that it did not give true north. So then you're thrust into the dilemma. You've got the compass, but the compass may not be pointing to north. You're still lost. You're still in a dilemma. Do I trust this compass? You see, a compass that has, in her words, a widened berth, if you will, is not a compass you want to try to follow. Because even a very few degrees could be critical when you are moving through the Appalachian Mountains or anywhere that you may be lost. Sanctification, and we're going to come back to this thought in a moment, but sanctification is found in your Bible. Sanctify, sanctification is found. And the interesting part is, in our English word, it is also translated holy or holiness, depending upon the author's choice of words. The Greek word, hagiazo, hagios, hagiosmos, all are the forms of the same original Greek word that come forth. Let me give you a few of the definitions. To make holy, to make clean, to render pure, to sanctify or separate unto God. It is also of the behavior befitting those who are so separated. It is an adjective, hagios, describing any matter of religious awe, sacrifice, consecration, sainthood, set apart, sanctified. The picture then is being set apart from the rest. In Romans chapter 12, where I mentioned for you to turn, in chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul says it in this way, talking about sanctification. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve, let me turn my page, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about us living and walking and working and being in the center of God's will for our lives. In that, there is a separation from the world. How many already know this? I want you to hold it up there for a second. Let's see. How many know this? Yeah, okay. So I'm not presenting to you a new concept this morning. That as believers, that we are to be separate from the world. However, sometimes that means something different to different people. Let's begin here. Sanctification begins with a moral true north. Okay? That's my first point to you. Sanctification begins with a moral true north. Now, you may not realize this, but there are actually four norths. Okay? The first one we call the magnetic north, and that's what these devices look for, the magnetic north or the magnetic pole of the North Pole. However, if you actually do a little research, you will find that the magnetic pole does not always exist right over the North Pole. It kind of moves around and, if you will, dances around the point of the North Pole up there, up north. There's what's called grid north. It follows the grid lines of a map projection that have been established. Those vary in widths, but they have a purpose in navigation. Then you have astronomical north. That is set by the stars, by the moon, by the stars, the North Star, all these good things. Actually, there are other stars that are involved. If the astronomical north has a set point of what's called the celestial pole, then you have geodetic north, which is considered true north. It is the direction following the Earth's surface toward the geographic north pole. So in other words, it is actually finding that exact point that is north. Now, a navigator, I remember in the Navy, my office on board ship was right next door to the navigators, and so they came over to us, we came over to them, and so I sat many a night, if you will, chatting among the charts, the navigational charts, and enjoyed being up on the navigator's deck, which was up on the top of the ship, and because it was kind of one of the furthest points that you could get to, and they had long since kind of abandoned the stars and were relying on other things even back in the 70s when I was in the Navy. Now I don't think that you probably can't find a sailor that could find the stars, but I don't know, with all the latest technology. But back then, that sense we would be in a particular place in the North Atlantic, we were so many minutes to the east or west, and so much distance from the absolute or true north, the geodetic north. And so we would be established. Now, you say, well, what's all this about? You see, a believer must also find true north. In other words, you cannot navigate your Christian life and say, I know that I'm to be separate from the world, but what does that look like? Where do you draw the lines? Now, if you're to ask somebody else, they'll tell you. For you. Come on. Because you see, it's much easier for us to, if you will, navigate someone else's Christian life than it is even our own. So I don't know everything, but I know if you would do this, 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 and this, then you'd be okay. Huh? Come on, church, isn't it true? It's a lot easier to help somebody else navigate through life than it is to navigate our own life. And especially when it comes to this separation unto God, separation from the world. Well, what you need to do is you need to get rid of this, 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 and this from your life. But it's okay to do this, this, and this. And they say, well, yeah, but I thought that this, this, and this was wrong. Because this person over here said that this, 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 and was wrong. So what do we do? Do we take a consensus of what we all feel and then throw it into a pot and whatever we all agree on, then we say, that's the true moral north? You see, this is exactly what this Christina was talking about. She said there has been a broadening of the moral compass in our country. And can I tell you this morning, that's not just in the unbelievers. That's within the church. I was listening, coming here this morning, you know, I'm talking about 1,000 young people, 1,000 children being molested in the Catholic Church in Pennsylvania that has just been uncovered. 300 priests have been involved. And, you know, they're doing their best to try and spin it and clean it up and all this kind of business and to move forward. I've not heard a single one actually say, we sinned. We've done wrong. It's all about getting caught. Huh? Well, the statutes of limitations are well past in all of this. So what? See, all that is just man. That's man's compass of what is right and what is wrong. And if you haven't noticed, there is a broadening of the moral compass in our land right now that is allowing things to take place and be called righteous. Not just okay, but righteous. In other words, that they are what God would desire. Now, church, if we don't get this right, what hope does the world have? Because you see, we are to be in this world salt and light. We are to be, if you will, the moral compass that the world can look to and say, well, I may not be serving God, but I do know that this is the direction that the church is going, so it must be the direction of God. But when the church cannot decide where true north is, then our world is in real trouble. Here's the thing about the Christian life. The first thing that we have to determine is where we want to end up. See, that's that way. Whenever we left port, and I was on a Navy ship, I was on a destroyer escort guided missile ship. And whenever we left port, one of the first things that had to be determined before we ever let go of the pier was, where are we going? Because it was never, well, let's go out and go wandering. Let's go out and just play around in the North Atlantic, and then we'll decide where we're at and we'll come back in here. No, no, no. You had to start with knowing where you're at. And then you determined, where are we going? And that would be even, we went out, played war games in the middle of the North Atlantic. And so we were setting out somewhere between Canada and whatever is on the other side there. I guess it would be like, Great Britain, and that's on down lower. We were way up there. Probably Greenland was probably closer. I know we could see Greenland at one point. Point being this, you know, you have to fix that point. Here's where we're going. We're going to go right here. And then we're going to stay here until we're going to move right here. And then we're going to move from right there to over here. And then we're going to go from here back to the port that we came from. Now, if somebody's not paying attention to that, if somebody hasn't established what true north is, if somebody hasn't plotted this course out, when you get ready to go home, you will end up in another spot. That's the way life is. Not just on a Navy ship, but that's the way our life works out. You've got to know where you're at right now. You've got to know where it is that you're going. And you've got to know some point out there that is fixed, that isn't going to move, and you can count upon it. So the question that you and I have to ask is, where am I? Where am I at today? Where am I in relationship to the world? Do those around me know that I am a believer? Do they know that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken my sins? Do they know that I am living a life that is separate from the world? Now see, this is the reason why that individuals have come up with lists throughout the years. Because see, that makes it easy. If we publish together a list, okay, this is what holy looks like, this is what sanctified looks like, then if you'll do all of these things, then you will be holy. Now, here's the truth. It's painful, but it's true. Men sat down and made the list. Are you ready, ladies? So they decorated their ladies accordingly. Holy will look like this. You have your skirt to the floor. You never wear pants like a man. You wear your hair long. You wear your sleeves long. And then you will be holy. You looked at the men looked like everybody else. Except for they had short hair, right? Okay? You see, the problem with the list making is who gets to make the list? If the ladies would have all gotten together and were in charge of making the list, guess what? Then the men would have all been decorated. I know. But see, it's true. We need a true north. We need a point that is fixed, that will not change, that is not up for debate. And we have that in our Heavenly Father. Just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. True north, true moral north is not what we come up with, but it is our God. You say, but oh my goodness, He's so separated. He's so distinct. He's so sanctified that how could we ever? But I'll tell you what, if I'm going out on a ship with you, I want to know where true north is before we ever leave the harbor. Because I want the hope that I'm going to end up in the destination that I want to end up in. Many a sailor has lost their way in an ocean because they could not see the stars, because of storms or what have you, and they did not know where they were. So they could not get to safety. They could not get home. They could not get to their destination because they did not know where they were. This morning, you and I, as we even begin to think about sanctification, we have to choose a true north. Spiritual, moral, north. Where is that point? Who sets the standard? Our God has to be that standard. Jesus Christ has to be that standard. His word has to be that standard. Why do you think that the enemy has been working to cause the church to lose confidence in this book? Because he wants to see a wandering church. He wants to see a church that doesn't know where they are or where they're going. Oh, I mean, everybody hopes for heaven, right? I said, everybody hopes for heaven, right? But did you know that there is a way to get there? There are roads that you take to get to heaven. You know, with all the construction that's been going on 37 out there, you know, I have, my mom is in Indy and try to make my way up there, and there's other business and things to do up there in Indy. And, you know, I have gone every conceivable path that you can take to try to get to Indianapolis. Trying desperately to find one that's painless. And it doesn't exist. You just have to, on any given day, choose your poison and hope that you've chosen well. Because everything changes from one day to the next. Folks, there's only one path to heaven. Pastor Steve and our worship team sang it this morning. Jesus. The way, the truth, the life. He said, no man comes to the Father except by me. That makes Jesus, part of the Godhead, to be very important in our finding and setting our moral compass. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, look to Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. Amen? You better say amen or I can't move on. Let's just be here all day. Sanctification is achieved by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can work on your own till you're exhausted. And you're not going to be able to separate yourself from the world. We need God's help. So not only do we need God to establish true north, what is absolute morality, what is separation from the world, but we need God's help to make it there, to live it. The command, be holy for I am holy, is virtually impossible for us in our humanity. Why? Because we are living in a fallen world and we are fallen people. As long as we're still walking around in the flesh, we have a desire and a propensity toward the dirt from which we've come. And again, who gets to judge the right course? Our sanctification is achieved by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus, listen to the words of Jesus. If you love me, John 14, if you love me, you will obey my command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Whoever, verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Now, Jesus just moved this obedience thing and walking in righteousness or living the sanctified life. He has just moved it over, if you will, into a portion with salvation itself. Because if we say that we love him and we're not willing to obey him and follow his word, we don't know him. 1 John chapter 1, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And folks, when I'm not talking about the kind of worldly love that they are speaking of that embraces every immorality, but it is the love of God in his holiness, his separation from the world, his separation from sin. The Spirit conveys the truth of Jesus to our hearts. Listen to this, John 14, 25. All of this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So how does the Holy Spirit achieve this work in us, this sanctifying work in us? 1 John 16, verse 8 says, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt. That is, he will expose the guilt of the world in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. In other words, he says, first of all, the establishment of what is right and what is wrong will come from the Holy Spirit. I don't have to stand up here this morning as your pastor and give you a list of rights and wrongs. What I encourage you to do is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the seal of the Holy Spirit will be placed upon your heart. And as the Holy Spirit comes in, guess what he will do? He will convict the world of sin. He'll let you know what is right and what is wrong. Now, you know, we have to be careful with this. Because we can quench the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit says that is wrong. We decide that it's right. And so we tell everybody, well, God said it's fine. Huh? Lord told me it's fine for me to do this. Well, you and the Holy Spirit know that that's wrong. That's a lie. But everybody else may think, well, what can I say against that? God told him it was okay. So there has to be that truth that is in the midst there where you are listening to the Holy Spirit. It's just like this thing. If I decide and I say, you know what? I don't trust that thing anymore. I'm going to start making east the true north. So I'm going to start following, and my compass is going to be, when I see it pointed to in, that's going to be west. And the E is going to be north. And what would that make? So east would be south and south would be west. I know, even trying to figure it out, it's insane. But we're doing it. Hear me? We're doing it. We're changing the moral compass. Even an unbeliever can recognize that we're changing the moral compass. Every time the church moves the standard of God, of what the Word of God says is pure and holy, and we move it, we move off of it, and say, no, because of love, because of this, we're going to change. You know, the saddest part of this is that I hear individuals actually using grace. The incredible, marvelous grace of our loving Lord as an excuse to sin. Well, because we're under grace, then none of this matters. You know, what the pastor's saying here, it doesn't really count because we're under grace. You need to read your Bible. It is by grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes, but don't stop there. For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's sanctification. We are saved by grace. But because we are saved by the grace of the Lord, we should want to be moving toward the true north. We used to sing a song called To Be Like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Jesus. That's sanctification. I think there should be a lot more amens, but that's okay. Sanctification is both immediate and progressive. You know, in the realm of the church, there has been arguments over this for years and years as to whether sanctification was immediate, came at salvation, or whether it was progressive. I believe it's both. I see scriptural evidence of both. There is an immediate work that Jesus did at Calvary. Hebrews 13:12 says, "And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood." So, in other words, he carved the path, if you will. He set the example. He made the provision so that we could be holy and separated unto God. Ephesians chapter 1 gives us these things, that we have been chosen by God. We have been prepared by God for salvation. We have been purchased by God. We have been granted position in God, and we have become a possession of God. All of those things still say that it is immediate and it is progressive. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. So how can we live in it any longer? We have an opportunity given to us by grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ to be free from sin, not to engage in sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, those who are concerned about their destination in life will say, I need to make a course adjustment because I want to end up where Jesus is. And I want the world to know what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. There's a lot of folks that are calling themselves Christians that need to stop, because Christian means Christ-like. If you're not going to live it, folks, don't take on the label. I was looking for, I like maple syrup on a number of things. pure maple syrup. And I was in this store, and I'm looking for it, and I would pick it up, and it says maple syrup on it. And I'd pick it up and go, oh, I found it. And then I turn it over to the back. Pure, natural products. You know, one of the ingredients was maple syrup, but then there were pure, natural products. So that pure on the front side meant pure other stuff. But not all. I wanted to find one that was nothing but maple syrup. Huh? I believe that we need some Christians today who are nothing but Christian, Christ-like, who the world can look to and say, wow, that's what a Christian looks like. Romans 6:6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That's the power of the cross. Forceful, hear me this, forceful determinations must be made. It's not easy. It's not easy to walk separate from the world. Because sooner or later they'll notice. Hear me? They will. On your job, you start walking with true north, your eyes set upon the Father, living the Word of God. Sooner or later, they're going to notice and they're going to go, what's wrong with you? Huh? And you say, well, you know, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into my heart and forgiven me of my sins. You say, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine saying that to people. Why not? Still hungry for the world? Wanting the world's acceptance? Guess what? Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you. How did he know that? He knew that because when you set your compass on God and you begin to follow the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to separate you. You're going to be separate from the world. You don't have to dress different. Huh? Just everything will begin to look different as you follow after the Lord. People will recognize there's something different about you. And that's where the scripture says, be ready always to give reason of the hope that is within you. That's where our testimony comes forth. They say, what, are you trying to be perfect? I say, no, I'm trying to be like Jesus. And I fully recognize that I'm going to fail, that I'm going to fall, that I'm not going to perhaps achieve this. But I'm going to set my course on the word of the Lord. And I'm going to live my life according to his standard. And probably that will separate me from the world. However, Romans 12, 1 and 2, where we started, I come back there again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. How? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't let the world set your compass. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul says, by the washing of the water of the word, letting our minds be renewed and strengthened. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says this as I close. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. There's effort, church. There's effort that is involved in following the Lord Jesus. Again, we're living in a fallen world. Their compass is heading in another direction. They have different hopes. They have different desires than what those who belong to the Lord Jesus will have. You and I, this morning, we need to check our compass. I close with this story. I recently read of a family who adopted a 12-year-old boy named Roger. Roger's folks both died in a fire, and there was no other family members. And these folks decided that they were going to take Roger into their home. The dad says, we need to do this. This is the right thing to do. We're going to bring him in. We're going to let Roger be a part of our family. We're going to love him. Just like he was born into this household. Well, as a 12-year-old, Roger came in to this house, and it was kind of a difficult adjustment for him to make. First of all, many, many days as he was starting off in his relationship in this new home, people were saying, no, 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 we don't act like that in this house, in this family. No, 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 we don't talk like that in this family. No, no, we don't go there in this family. Now, understand this. Did they love him? Did they care about him? Absolutely. That father, by grace, had allowed Roger to come into their household. But Roger didn't get to change the household. But Roger needed to change to fit in the household. Church, this is sanctification. You and I have been invited in by our Heavenly Father's love and the sacrifice of Jesus. He's brought us in. We don't get to change God's household to fit what we want, but rather we need to change to be like Jesus. Amen? Stand with me, please. We believe in sanctification, the separation of our lives unto God. I hope you're there this morning. How many are there, at least in heart? Good. Maybe you're still struggling with that this morning. Galatians says, let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. One of these days, we're going to make our destination. Won't it be wonderful then? Right now, it's a bit of work. And sometimes you may feel alienated as you are walking to our true moral north, which is our Lord. But just stay on track. Stay on track. I can remember spending a night. The seas were raging in the North Atlantic. Forgive all the Navy stories this morning. They just fit and I enjoy telling them. We were in a nor'easter. And the waves were coming totally over the top of the ship. The brow of the ship going right into the waves throughout the night. And I was on the bridge with the captain and just watching this. It's the most spectacular thing I've seen in my whole life. The reality was that through that storm, we could not be on our course. We had to go into the waves or else the waves would cover us over. Sometimes, the point is this, that sometimes during a storm, it's easy to lose your course. Where you're at, what's true north, where am I heading, what's going on? Maybe even, God, don't you care? Mm-hmm. Just know this. He hasn't changed. He hasn't moved. He's still the same. Huh? So the key in the midst of the storm is to make sure you know right where God is all the time. Come on now. Make sure you know where He is and stay in constant contact with Him. And then He'll help you establish where you are and set your course to where you're going. You turn your eyes onto your situation, and it'll grow worse and worse and worse. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I love that old song, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The beauty of the relationship that you have with the Lord comes out spectacular when we're in the storm. And I look across this congregation this morning, and I know that there's a lot of storms raging. But God is able. Father in heaven, I thank You this morning for the peace that we can have as we establish You as our true north. I believe that there are those here this morning, Your Holy Spirit is drawing on my heart, who encourage those who are struggling in a storm. They're watching the storm. They're lost in the storm. But I pray right now that You would help them to take their eyes off of the storm and put them on You. That they would set their compass to but one thing, true north, to You, knowing that You will bring them home safely. Whatever they're going through, whether it's relational, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, or maybe even spiritual this morning, those who are struggling in their spirit, they want to follow You, but the world's attraction is so great that they're drawn to the world. When they're not in this place, the pain and the sorrow and the struggle is even greater, and they end up failing and falling and hurting inside and feeling like sin has power over their lives. I pray that Your word of truth would just surround us right now, that we would see God, that You are the way, You are the truth, You are the life, and what You said in Your word is true. Sin has no power over us by the blood of Christ. We have been forgiven of our sins. We are walking free from the power of sin and darkness. And may the enemy of our souls not have power to bring discouragement to us, but may we set our eyes upon You and navigate our lives set on You, knowing that You will bring us home. You will bring us to safety. If we will keep our eyes set on You. Praise You, Jesus.